Hey, what's good, everyone? This is Rich with a quick announcement before today's episode. So if you've been listening to the show for a couple of months, you might remember that I took a little bit of time off to deal with a family matter. So I didn't talk about it then, but I wanted to talk about it briefly now. So my brother was in a major motorcycle accident that cost him his leg and nearly cost him his life. And so to help my brother out and to help his family during a really difficult time, I set up a GoFundMe campaign for people to donate whatever they can, of course, if they're willing, to help him and his family out as they get things together and try to deal with this long journey that's ahead of them. To learn more about that campaign, you can go to paychecksandbalances.com/Vincent, V-I-N-C-E-N-T, and you'll be able to read the story as well as also hear from him in his words. So since I do this whole podcasting thing, I actually interviewed him. And he was brave enough to have a conversation with me about that day that his life changed forever. So please check that out and donate if you can. If you can't, I completely understand. You know, this is a podcast that you're listening to about work and money, so I understand things can be tight. But I really hope you'll take a look and you'll help him and his family as they try to make their way through and look at the next chapter of their lives. Thanks so much for listening, and let's get into today's episode. Hey, what's good, everyone? This is Rich.
And Wim.
And you're listening to the Paychecks and Balances podcast, where we talk all things work and money with the hope we don't leave you in a state of WTF.
And you can tweet along today's episode using hashtag PayBal, or you can add us directly at PayBalances on Twitter.
Yeah, and if you're enjoying the show, don't forget to subscribe to the PNB Weekly Newsletter, where we cover top work and money articles we found, career and money management tips, and more. To sign up for that, you can visit paychecksandbalances.com/email. So today we're going to talk about making yourself indispensable at work. But first, we're going to talk about three types of people you should stay woke for at all times. I made that dramatic, but we'll go with it.
It'll work. It'll work. So I actually heard this topic, I guess I'm going to go with, recently from someone high up in our company. I don't know if he'd want me to say who it came from, so I'll keep that. But someone high up, respected, leading the organization.
All the way up.
I hadn't heard it put in this way before, and that is three types of people, optimists, skeptics, and cynics. So the breakdown being optimists see things that are optimistic, see things as cups half full. You want as many optimists on your team or in your corner as possible. The recommendation is to surround yourself with optimists, seek them out, and ideally become one yourself.
Working on it.
And I think this is something that most people would try to avoid, and that's the second one, which is skeptics. So I thought he was also going to say to remove or cut out skeptics from your life, but he said skeptics can be converted. They can be won over. All you have to do is prove yourself, and then they can be converted into optimists with proven wins. So skeptics you actually need in your corner because they make you better. They don't brown nose. I'm trying to think of the politically correct way to see it. So they believe in you, but they have to be won over. You have to prove it. They don't just readily accept it. They see the glass neither as half empty or half full. They just see a glass and they want to see what you're going to do with it.
See, these can also be the annoying people, or do they fall into the next group? So I'm thinking of the people who are in the meetings who every time someone has an idea, they shoot it down.
I'm thinking that's going to be in the final group, but I do think the skeptic is going to ask you to explain. How are we going to do that? They might kind of rein you in on the realism side, but hopefully not so far to the realism that it's nothing but criticism instead of constructive criticism.
There we go.
So that brings us to the third category, cynics. And I think that's what you're talking about. Get rid of these people. They cannot be won over. They cannot be convinced. They are draining, distracting, morally sapping.
I was going to say repugnant.
Yeah, that'll work. It's like cynics. Using the example from the last show that we just talked about, they're trolls. Cynics are the trolls of the world. Cynics are trolls in real life.
Yeah, they kind of are. They are those people who always have something negative to say, can always find the wrong in something that may be right. They're really annoying to have around. They kill the morale of the whole group, which that's just never a good thing.
Yeah, and it kind of, I had another conversation somewhat in relation to this, but the idea, I think, is a lot of people will try to win incorrectly cynics over, thinking they're skeptics, and the return or the drain on yourself to do so, in my opinion, is not worth it. And I think there's this idea that, you know, the one peach can spoil the whole bunch type of idea, which is true, and that one bad peach, excuse me, and that you'll spend so much effort trying to bring this person, group, or individual up that the whole team is actually brought down. Yeah. And I think the most people think, well, we'll bring them up to us, and usually you go down to them. You know, and what's the quote that if you fight from an idiot from a far enough distance, to a stranger can't tell the difference. So, you know, that's not where you should be putting your energy. If someone is a skeptic but can be won over into being a believer, yes, I'd say that might be worth it. But a cynic, there was a leadership, not seminar, but I think it was an article from Forbes, from a high up lady. I think it was the one who did the lean forward like movement. You might want to look that up, because I know people probably know who this is. But she talked about one thing that really freed her up from a managerial standpoint, which is why I recommend reading all these leadership things and just taking away what you can and improving your network and finding a mentor, was she didn't need to win everyone over. And she said, actually being even respected by some of her fiercest critics was still enough for her to move forward. And she would get hung up by, well, I haven't won 100%. And you know what vote is like, there's no, in a, you know, democracy or even a consensus, like you actually aren't striving for 100%. You just need the people that need to be on your side, on your side, and hopefully that's the majority. But trying to please everyone is a recipe for failure.
Yo, it's exhausting trying to get the, and so there are some times where you do need to win the consensus of the group. And it's usually a small, a finite list of people. Maybe it's within a meeting. Maybe it's trying to get a project approved, trying to get budget approved, but trying to get everybody to like you and trying to be the popular person and be on everyone's good side, not going to happen. And you're going to exhaust yourself in the process, because there's always going to be someone who doesn't like you for some reason. And it's better to just cut those people rather than trying to convert them to the other side, unless they seem like a skeptic.
Yeah. You don't have to win over your critics, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, pretty much.
And in summary, again, three types of people. Optimists and skeptics are welcome. Optimists will keep you going. Skeptics will keep you sharp, still, sharp and still. And don't waste your time, energy, or breath on cynics.
You know what? This also reminded me, skeptics are probably the show me the data people.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. And I think that's fair. The it's going to fail people, like, brings me to this final quote that I'm trying to share, positive affirmation. People who say it cannot be done should not interrupt those who are doing it, from George Bernard Shaw. And then that's my point. If you think it cannot be done, or you think it's going to fail, don't get in the way of me doing it or anyone else. Just step to the side, cynic. So that would be my money from the trenches. Yeah, from the trenches topic for this week.
There we go. Had to go on ahead and drop that in there. It seemed perfectly timed for that.
I had to scroll up. That was my fault. I had the screen on the wrong part.
Nah, it's all good. So let's talk a little bit about making yourself indispensable at work. So I've seen a few articles floating around about this, something that I've spoken with people about in the past, but I don't think we've talked about it specifically on the show. So I know we did a two-part series back on PB2 and PB3 when this show was in the early going, about office habits that may be holding you back. And one of the items that's in this list of the top five that I pulled, so the list itself, it's
top five.
There we go. It's 12 simple steps on how to stop being in this. Oh, that's not what it's titled. They messed that up. They did. It's basically 12 things to do to make yourself indispensable. But the title that they have in this link is different than the title that's actually on the page. So from the top five of what I looked at and thought was most relevant for us to talk about on the show, and these are in no particular order, but the first one here, do what you say you'll do. And so the author says, don't make commitments you cannot keep. Do what you say you will do, and sometimes do more. This, you know, I have it first in the list, and I said it's not in any particular order, but I'm wondering if this might be the most important thing you can do, is keep your word. I think it might be.
I'm really big on this. But I'm a really big actions over words type of person too. So definitely backing up what you say you're going to do. But what I think people also struggle with, and it frustrates me, is just saying no. So if you can't make the commitment, I would respect that equally or as much, or at least having that conversation early on, than just, well, I'm going to say yes to get this person out of my face. And you already know, like, you're already deleting it from your memory bank, your files, because you had no plan to do it in the first place. Like, that is super frustrating to me. I had to have a conversation with someone that I could actually have this type of conversation with, because they said they were going to do something. They didn't. And I kind of knew going in that they weren't. And I was just like, a few weeks later, I was just like, yo, just say you're not. Like, that would have been so much easier. I had other directions I was going to go in. There's other people I could have been working with. And especially in that scenario, when you're not even the only source of the or means for it to get done, just say it. Like, yeah. Nah, man, I'm not. Either nah, I'm not going to do that. No. Or I can't do that. I'm like, cool. I have, you know, X, Y, and Z that I can now go to. But to put X, Y, and Z off so you can procrastinate on decision, like, man.
Yeah.
Nah. Not a fan.
Yeah, one of the items in the list was actually be honest. Now, it says whether it's a mistake, a missed deadline, or a bad judgment call, communicate openly and work hard to find good solutions to any problems you may have caused. Never engage in blame placing. I'd say before you even get to this point, in line with what you were just saying, if you know you can't deliver something, or you're going to be too time crunched, or you're going to have to rush to do it, it's better to just say that rather than fake the funk and then turn it in late and have people looking at you sideways.
Yeah, and I think it's also helpful, if you have this type of relationship, to go on the record. Like, sometimes, like, not to be, you know, a hypocrite, be a cynic. But yeah. Sometimes I will literally say, hey, I just want to go on the record. I don't think this is a good idea. I think this is impossible, or this is implausible, or whatever. But if it has to be done, let's go ahead and go out here and do this impossible, improbable thing. Like, I will still eventually get on the boat. I just want people to know. And I, on the other side, too, I'd be like, hey, yo, this is a great plan. I championship and cheerlead and coach for this. And I'll be a sponsor or mentor, whatever you need to do. Hoorah, hooray, let's go. Like, whatever the pep speech is. But sometimes I think you also need to be that person that says, hey, can we take a step back? This idea is insane. These deadlines are impossible. This is not going to happen. We've seen this fail 16 times, you know, and at least maybe cause people to have a conversation around that, like an honest and open conversation around it. But I think, you know, like I said, that comes with comfort, confidence, and time. But I think if you're there, that needs to be put out.
Yeah, and that's a valuable skill, too, especially when companies are looking at people who can move up in the leadership. They want people who are comfortable speaking out, who are comfortable disagreeing with something. So you can do it in such a way where you're like, hey, I'm a team player, but I'm just saying, probably not going to work because we've done this 50 times before. But let's do it the 51st.
Yeah, and what I'm not saying is don't put it out there so you can be the told you so person. I think we talked about that. Don't be the told you so person.
Nah.
And there was an article that I shared on at Pay Balances Sunday now, the 7th. If you want to go back and find it. And it said, there's no right way to say no. And in business.
Yeah.
that would have been the quote that they, you know, of course, ran with on the interwebs. And, you know, he's out here saying you can't say no.
I don't want those problems. That's not the type of publicity I want.
Not what I'm saying. But in business. And what they were trying to say is there's a art to having the conversation of saying no and coming up with, as I have recommended, three solutions. It's usually a key, like, I've identified a problem. I don't think this is going to work. Here's three other plausible ways for resolving this problem I've identified. And I think that goes over a lot further than just being, hell no. And then, like, that's the end of the conversation. Like, you, like the Samuel L. Jackson of the room, like, don't do that. Like, be like, hey, guys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't going to work. Here's why I think it's not going to work. Here's some ideas I have for making it work. Let's talk about those instead of doing that impossible thing over here. That's what I would be recommending here. So I wanted to be clear.
There we go. Yeah, we like did mutual piggybacks and got to a very good place that makes me comfortable with going to the next one. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
The next one on the list here, be open and adaptable. So learn to embrace change and help others see the benefits of moving with the tides. Now, this one may sound a little fuzzy, but I actually think it's really important. So a lot of times in job descriptions, you'll see it says must be able to thrive in ambiguity or must be able to adapt to change, which basically means this is a place where, brackets, stuff changes frequently, and we need people who can really roll with the punches. If we decide to go a different direction, they're going to figure out how do we get there versus looking at everything else and figuring out how we can keep on doing the same thing. And I think this is something that managers in particular appreciate, because as you can probably attest to, managers are tasked with delivering bad news, delivering stuff from up top that they may not necessarily agree with, like you were just saying. And maybe you voiced that you disagreed with it and shared the reasons why, but then you still have to go back and deliver some bad news to your team. And there are people who will be like, all right, that's the way it is. Let's try to get to the next level. Let's try to chart this new territory, to be cliche. And then there are other people who just dwell so much. Ah, this is the third time we changed directions. Ah, man, like what's wrong with doing it the old way? I like doing it that way better. I don't like the course that we're going, blah, 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 blah. And those are the type of things that also weigh the team down.
Yeah, I agree. And I think sometimes even a recognition of, hey, it has to be done, is still an honest and open conversation to have too. But I think you can admit that. Like sometimes, and I think I've talked about this before, I will literally say, I'm going to share this information. And once y'all have this information, we now all know the exact same thing. I don't ask me, you know, why, left, right, up, down, you know, circle, circle, dot, dot. Like, look, this is all I know. And now we all know all that I know. And even if what I know and you now know is very limited, it is all the information that I have. And like, I feel like that goes a long way. People are like, oh, well, all right. Well, I still have questions, but you have no answers. And I'm like, yes, now let's move forward.
Spoken like a true manager.
Yeah. Or I can go back with the questions you may have, but I just tell you, there is literally, and I think that goes back to jokes aside, what I talked about, building trust and having an open, honest conversation, then you can also have open, honest conversations about bad things too. Cause you can be like, look, I haven't held things back from you before. You've seen how I've dealt with things in the past, good, bad, or indifferent. So now when I tell you this is all I know, it's not like, oh, well, what does he really know? And what is he holding back? Cause that one right. time he lied to me and he, you know, he's been hiding things under, you know, like when you build trust, then you can have actually more difficult conversations more frequently and ideally move towards constructive resolution over time. Even if that resolution is, you know what, we're going to move forward anyway.
There it is. I can tell that you've employed this one a few times.
Yeah. Yeah. It took me a while over the years because I didn't like telling people when I didn't have the information, or I didn't like not being able to answer the question because I assumed that they needed an answer to move forward. But I've kind of learned over the years, sometimes they just want more information, even if that information is, I have no more information.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people don't get that. They're like, well, there must be more. Or they don't have that that closure of, well, no, there is not. And yeah. I mean, it is perfectly reasonable. And that's a noble and good question to have. And you know what? I have questions too. Like, you know what? I have that exact same question, matter of fact. And if I get the answer to that question, which I also have, I will share that information. And I think that goes really far with people.
Yeah, I feel like you got some particular person in mind who's always coming to you like, but there's more. What about this and this? And it's like, look, man, I told you.
And this is something, it's not actually one particular person. Because the you know, first of all, I work in auditing, so we always want to know more. In fact, we want to know everything. So I get a lot of questions, and that's fine. But I also, more or less, when I try to, you know, coach, mentor, develop, teach, learn, well, even myself or others, I think I try to use people. There's very few individuals I've run into that are actually only representative of themselves. So I might use a person as an example, but I might. And I try to clearly point out that I'm using this person because we all know them, mm-hmm. but represent or let it be known that they are representing of a, they are, that's actually a better way. They're a representative. They are represented, like their frustration or their question or their, me using them for this example is only because they are a common ground that we can all relate to. Like, oh yeah, I know John. I know John Smith. And I'm like, okay, remember when John Smith was upset about this situation? He was perfectly right to be upset about that situation. They're like, oh yeah, right. Now I'm like, now imagine if John Smith was, you know, Sally Sue and all down the line. And that's how you can navigate through handling. They're like, oh, okay. Now I can tie back to how that situation resolved because it wasn't John Smith specific. There's been times, but it's very few times where someone is actually only representative of themselves. Sometimes the person that's quote unquote the lightning rod just happens to be the person brave enough to say what everyone else is thinking.
Yeah.
Now, yeah. I have thoughts on that. That's not always the person you want to be. And I say you actually want to embody multiple individuals. Like, I just collect information from individuals. I'm like, wow, they handled that really well. And wow, they handled that really poorly. And that might be the exact same person. And I will take away the pros and cons from that situation and just consider yourself a collector of information and observations versus like, okay, I'm going to handle everything the exact same way universally, how myself and I would handle it. Like, sometimes you got, I would say, and I kind of use the metaphor, putting on different hats. Like, okay, I remember when John Smith tried that, and John Smith doesn't work here no more.
So, yeah, that's probably a pretty good example.
Let me try a different approach than John Smith
does. Yeah, don't be John Smith.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I was trying to say there.
Yeah, cool, man. So next one on the list, be the one people reach out to, the one from whom people seek mentorship and coaching, information and solutions. Now, if you're someone that's just starting your career, it's going to be a little bit, well, you know what? You can still be a resource because typically you're going to know the ins and outs of systems, the actual implementation, the actual execution. You're going to know that stuff better than people who are higher up in the organization who are more so doing strategy and spend their time in meetings. So you can be an expert and you can be a go-to for people who have questions on a particular area. I think we talked in a previous episode about someone who was really good with Excel. Like if you're a trusted person who really knows how to work with that. Somebody has a project they're doing. They know it's going to take them 6 hours to do it. But if they come to you, you might show them something that will cut that down from 6 hours to 30 minutes or down to an hour. You are a valuable resource. But even beyond your first gig or when you're earlier in your career, you should try to be a trusted ear. Now, I know for some of us, and I've been like this on many a day, I go to work and I don't feel like hearing about anyone's problems. Like, I'm just like, oh, okay, that's going on in your life. Guess what? I don't really care right now. But I'm going to listen because it's not always about me and I might be able to help this person out.
Yeah, we have a note to talk about this on a future show, so I'll just allude to it for now. I think listening, and I'm guilty of it too, is a lost art. Not in terms of the ability to listen, which, you know, majority of us have. I mean how we go about doing so. And I mean that as simple as I kind of learned, and I'll expand on another show about this. When someone comes into my office, usually, they just barged in. You know, they don't have an appointment and they just stop by. I found that it goes a really long way to stop whatever I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's super important what I'm doing, I'll tell them like, hey, you know, I'm in the middle of something, but I want to give you, you know, a minute or two. And if we can we put this on my calendar? Or is this something we need to talk about now? And I found that giving someone undivided attention for even 5 minutes, I'm amazed how many conversations can be resolved in that period of time.
Yo, it's a beautiful thing.
And I think it goes a long way with them too, because they try to be respectful of that. They're like, wow, he's giving me undivided attention. Because in the world of smartphones and computers and multitasking, and we're all busy, I really think like listening and making eye contact, like, hey, I'm paying to you, pay attention to you. You have 100% of my attention right now, I think has really gone a long way and got a lot of buy-in from people when they see that, either consciously or subconsciously. They're just like, thank you for listening. I've had people come in and that's all they wanted to do is have somebody listen to them.
Yeah.
Because that's such a foreign concept.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, man, can we talk? I'm like, sure. And they're like, wow, yeah, I got things to say. First of all, I wasn't even expecting that. I was like, yeah, man, yeah, let's go ahead and talk. Do we need to grab a conference room? You know, yeah, let's do 5-15 minutes. If we need longer than that, then we can set up something formal for that. But I've really tried to make a point, and it's hard. Don't get me, like, it's easier said than done, and especially in this busy world where we think everything has to happen immediately. But if I'm on my phone, I put my phone down. Sometimes I turn my phone over because yeah, I'll be tempted to pick it back up. If I'm, you know, playing around on my computer, well, not playing around, working around on my computer, firing off, you know, any number of emails.
No, you mean playing, but that's okay.
Well, both. I stop. And sometimes I'll turn my monitor off so I can give that person.
Oh, that's thorough.
Yeah. Undivided attention. Even if that undivided attention is 1 to 5 minutes, because I think that's 1 to 5 minutes that most people don't get on their day to day. I mean, if you think about how we're always, you know, got our face in some kind of glowing screen somewhere.
Yeah. And I think giving someone undivided attention, that's like one of the things to do to be more charismatic. I've read that somewhere, is when someone feels like you're the only person they're paying, that you're paying attention to, and you're not distracted by other things. People love that. And I've learned a lot more about people and how they feel about other people in the office from just being a listening ear or listening ear. And it's something, even if you work at a place where they do 360 performance reviews and you got to find, and basically a 360 performance review, if you haven't heard of it, it's when not just your manager reviews you, but you also usually select people from your team or people that you've worked with on different projects to also review you as well. And if you've been a good listening ear, you may not have actually done much for people, but it may not seem that way. But when you play the listening ear role, you can actually make someone's day better. Someone's going to think more favorably about you. And those people that you listen to and maybe offer a suggestion here and there, those are also people that you can then list in the future if you ever have to select folks for a peer review. So that's another reason to be a good listener.
Yeah, I actually went through my first 360, and maybe I should talk about that on a show this year. And it's funny. Well, it was funny, like the main thing, category or area that I scored lowest on, and I'm talking about like twos out of five, was, I don't remember the exact term, but it was essentially about soft, like just not, like, open, transparent, honest, great manager, knowledgeable, blah, 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 but doesn't talk to me. And I, basically,
that's so you.
Basically, I failed at being an extrovert. And I was like, yo, I come to work. To work, be like, yo, like, yo, that's what I'm here for. And it was funny because all those things that you go to school for and you train for, and like I said, decade of experience, been in this job 10 years now, those were like under the, so there's this bucket at the end where it's like your top 10, what your team thinks is most important. Those were like 7, 8, 9, 10, like how knowledgeable you were, you know, all these degrees and everything. But, you know, does he listen when I come into his office? Number one. Do we have enough group, you know, meetings and things? Like number two, and I was like, what? Like this is what people want to do.
Yeah, that's what people want.
But that being said, I mean, and that's something that's come with time. Like back in the day, I'd been like, man, forget this. I'm locking my door. I'm not wasting no more time making eye contact with anybody. Then, like, I was taking it all personal. But I was like, you know, that's the whole point of the 360 review when you do it right. Like, I need to fix this. So, you know, I set up more frequent team meetings. I asked for advice from the team. Like, hey, what would y'all like to see at these team meetings? Because I don't know. Like, the term that I've used or I heard someone else use as far as when you're trying to get someone to recognize an intersectional issue or privilege they may have is your blind spot. Like, that was my blind spot. If I was driving in my vehicle and I'm successfully abiding by the speed limit and I'm, you know, defensive driving and offensive driving, but my blind spot was I don't know how to be super duper bubbly nice because that's not how I am. Like, I'm just not that person. And it would never occur to me, like, I could go my whole life, I could work from home for the next 40 years and not interact with another soul. I'd be perfectly content. I could honestly go to my job and shut my door and not talk to anybody for 8 hours and go home and wouldn't think anything of it.
Yeah,
like,
I'm the same way.
I actually have to do the opposite action. I'm like, all right, Mark, you've been in your office for 4 hours. Maybe you should go out and interact with some people, let them know that you're still breathing. And I just get up and go talk to people. Hey, what's going on? Can I assist you? Can I help you with anything? But that's not my natural role, or that's not my natural action. I don't do that naturally. Like, I have to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm the same way. So I actually have to make a conscious effort to go sit in other areas throughout the office. So I have the area where we sit, and that's where I can normally hole up and just stare at my computer. Eight hours goes by, I hop back on my shuttle and go home. But I've actually made it a point to sit in some of the cafeterias or some of the micro kitchens, or I guess in some places, kind of like the break room. Just so I'm visible to people, I can say hey to people that I don't normally see. And there are people who come over and spark up a conversation. Yeah, I may be in the middle of something, but that relationship building and being known around the company is more important than me just staying quiet. Unless, of course, I'm trying to get something critical done, in which case I'm probably hiding in a room where no one can find me at all.
Yeah, and I think, and maybe you can relate to, especially as you move up in your career and you have different roles, I think that responsibility falls more on your shoulders. So yeah. when I was like, you know, staff and I didn't have anyone reporting to me, basically no one was generally impacted if I sat in my office for 8 hours a day and went home and went back and I did that for the next 30 years, like cool. But I think when I have a group of myriad individuals with myriad personalities. I'm not even sure I'm saying that. I just want to force that in there.
Myriad. I thought it was myriad, but anyway, I'm gonna let you cook.
Yeah, whatever.
Keep cooking.
I like to force that in whenever I pause whenever I get an opportunity. I was wondering how you gonna find a way to get that in this episode. So well done.
I was letting you cook, fam.
But I think you for me, and that, I mean, it's funny that someone essentially has pointed out, hey, you're lacking emotionally, and I found a logical way to solve it. I'm like, every 5 hours, I will get up at 4 or 5 minutes, and then I will walk around. And I will take 32 steps to the left and 67 steps to the right, and that'll make me appear more emotional. But that being said, like, I feel like that responsibility falls on me now, like as a manager, as a team, as individuals that are impacted by my decision. And that, and I've seen it as I talk about collecting observations, both positive and negative, from your network, people you respect, your peers and mentors. I've seen it in the opposite. Like I had a, trying to be as vague as I can while still, I worked for someone, let me just put it that way, who did that. And they came and they didn't see it as a big deal. And they were the nicest person it could be, but they just didn't talk to inter- they didn't interact with people. That just wasn't their thing. They didn't even see that as a part of their job. They're like, why? If somebody wants to interact with me, they can walk over here and talk to me. Like, why should I have to go to them? And I was like, I get that. But I kind of feel like, in my opinion, the role switches as you move up, that you got to be the bigger person.
Yeah, you
got to take the first step. When the handshake comes, you got to put your hand out first. And that might be uncomfortable and that might be outside of your norm. It might not be a habit. You got to now put yourself up for rejection. But hey, that's why they pay you the big bucks. Them.
Yeah. Yeah,
they pay me the okay bucks.
The medium bucks.
Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. Yo, I'll actually walk up to even like a CEO. You know, like there are people who are like, oh man, you walked up to so-and-so. I'm like, yeah, it's a person. They want to be treated just like a person too. They don't always want everyone coming up to them groveling and, oh, a pleasure to meet you, sir, ma'am. Like that's not the way that people want to be treated. I just talk to them like they're a regular individual. Hey, what's going on, so-and-so? You know, how are the kids? How's the fam? Have a quick conversation. Yeah, they're going to be busy, but I know that that person knowing my name and being like, that person was confident enough to come up to me and have a conversation, that's something that they may remember, because they could not remember it. But yeah, sometimes you just got to do that. It's whether or not you want to move up or you're just fine operating where you are. If you want to be putting yourself in position when it comes time for merit increases and some of that other stuff, these are the simple things that may not be as fun to do that you have to do. And I'll have a little bit more to say about that in a bit. The next one on the list here, and this is a fast one. So, well, it could be, maybe not. Stay positive. So it's easy to become so focused on the finish line that you fail to enjoy the journey. Be positive and a joy to be around as you're building your success. I don't know if I'll be a joy per se, but I can try to be positive. And I was thinking about this one. And so sometimes being positive, it can be the same thing as just going in and putting your game face on. And I thought about this actually just being a black male and some of the things that have happened in the news with police killing folks and stuff like that. And I've had days where I really wanted to call in black. Like I didn't want to go into work and be the smiley face person, but I went in for whatever reason, probably should have stayed home. And to me, putting the game face on was, you know what? I'm going to continue to be positive, cordial with people. If I'm in a bad mood, I'm going to be somewhere in the office where it's not going to come out, where I'm not going to snap at people. But that positive attitude, I think, ties to a lot of these other ones where you want to work with people that are pleasant to be around, or that when you have to ask them a question, you don't feel like you're walking on eggshells because they're going to blow up or because they're going to have a negative response to you. And being positive, it's tied to being liked when they're looking at the team, you know, who's a really good team member, who's someone we definitely want to keep around. This is a good time or something that they will talk about or think about. They're going to think about the positive people and what that energy does for the team.
Yeah, I also think the benefit of being a positive.
If you're like me, you probably hate grocery shopping. And if you're like me, you probably hate figuring out dinner every night. And that's where HelloFresh comes into play. So HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novice chefs like myself to seasoned home cooks. And one of the best things about this is if you're cooking just for yourself, each meal could last you 2 days. I discovered that when I was making this sizzling beef stir fry last week. I promise you, it really was sizzling. And if you're wondering how the food gets delivered, it arrives at your doorstep in a special insulated box for free. So for $35 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks. Again, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks when you subscribe. Check it out.
The person, assuming that you're not just naturally, and I get it. I mean, I think I'm a pretty positive person. I'm not sure I would consider myself like an upbeat and like outgoing person. I think that's the difference. Like I'm actually, you know, I'm happy as can be. I'm just happy as can be not talking to anybody. It doesn't really bother me one way or the other.
Hashtag
but I think,
real.
I think another thing that that benefits you as a positive person is then you kind of quote unquote get credit for when you do need to have a negative day. Does that make sense? So like you've been positive 364 days out of the year, you earn that day or time or period to be negative. You're like, you know what? And it's an exception now.
Yeah.
Versus like you just show up, you're negative all the time, then it's just more of the same.
Yeah. And people will notice, and not even in a bad way. They might think, wow, if so-and-so's having a bad day, he must really be dealing with some ish, or she must really be dealing with some stuff. So it comes off as more out of character than the norm. You don't want that to be the norm.
Agreed.
There we go. And the last one here, learn more by being more. So do everything you can to make more of yourself. Volunteer for tasks outside your usual role. Be eager to step up and take on more than your share. Do it with openness and effectiveness and a willing heart and mind, and it will make you invaluable. Now, to me, this is also how you stack references and position yourself for a strong performance rating or even a promotion. You know, companies want to keep indispensable people happy. So when you're the person, of course, you do really well with your current role, but people on the team, he's so helpful with this or she's so helpful. She's always willing to volunteer and help out. You know, sometimes you're just going to want to go home. You're not going to want to volunteer for stuff. And, you know, I'm not a fan of volunteering for things just for the sake of volunteering for things. There are more than enough opportunities for you to probably get involved wherever you work. So if you're going to volunteer stuff, at least try to make it stuff that you have some type of remote interest in.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if I have much to add to that one. And I guess the only thing I would say, you can also start stuff. So
that's a real good one.
My previous company is actually, I think we're a little bit further along, so I think we're a little bit better at this. But we had maybe overkill. We had committees for every idea that you could think of. I mean,
that's probably not efficient.
The Bridge Club committee, the drinking committee, the happy hour committee, the social fun and social media committee. It is like the committee to help the committee's committee commit. And I'm like, and they just put them out there. They're like, hey, but that's another thing is like, it's like anyway, they were all on a volunteer basis. So there was no shortage of either creation or opportunities for you to be on something that you would that you are actually interested in is what I'm going to go with.
There we go. I was trying to help you out again, man, but I just couldn't get there.
I think genuine was the word I was trying to go with, but I kept my brain just kept saying generally. I don't know. It wasn't going to let genuinely out there. I don't know. I don't know what happened there.
Hey, man, it happens to the best of us. It's happened to me like 4 times this episode.
I blame everything on age at this point, man. So I'm going to chalk that up to age. It's probably the brain ain't firing off like it used to.
Washed is what you are. But yeah, that's it. The top 5 from this list of 12 simple steps for making yourself indispensable. So I wanted to come back with the actual title on the article. We'll link to that in the show notes. And if you have topics you'd like to hear us cover on this show, you can email us at info@paychecksandbalances.com.
And if you enjoy the show, I never scroll, I'm always on the wrong screen. And if you enjoy the show, drop by, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, help us out because somebody was trolling, and keep us relevant in the rankings, which means we reach more people, which means we help more people.
How could you not want to help more people? Do it for the kids. Do it for the kids. I don't know why that's my thing lately, kids sharing candy. I must have saw that on TV somewhere.
Yeah, I've been on a candy-themed metaphor for a while here, and I wasn't going to say anything about it.
I mean, hey, I do like candy. But anyway, thanks again for listening. Don't forget to also check out our email list if you're not on that, paychecksandbalances.com/email for the PNB Weekly. But until next time, be safe. We out. Peace.